As we continue our study in the book of Philippians, last time we were in Philippians chapter 1, and we were looking at verses 21 through 30, and we had entitled this passage, "For the Sake of the Gospel." There was one last thing that I want us to look at. We were looking at some things in each of our lives that should be as becometh the gospel. And we saw, first of all, our life should becometh the gospel. Our death, even our death should be as becometh the gospel. Our acquaintances, who we associate with, should becometh the gospel. Our conversation should becometh the gospel. And the last thing that I want us to look at is our suffering. Our suffering should be as becometh the gospel. We see there in Philippians chapter number 1, in verses 28 to 30, the Word of God has this to say: "And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation in that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, now here to be in me." You see, there is no way that you're going to further the gospel of Christ and live for the sake of Christ without suffering at the hands of your enemies. You can live as a Christian and avoid this suffering if you decide not to live for the sake of the gospel. But, my friend, if you decide to be a bold witness for Jesus Christ, you're going to run into trouble with people. Turn with me to the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 1, in verses 4 through 6. And this is what the words of God have to say: "So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you." Notice also in the book of 1 Peter, 1 Peter in chapter number 4, in verses 12 through 14, this is what the Word of God says: "Beloved, think that it is not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. And if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of the glory and of God resteth upon you, and on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." You see, Paul suffered at the hands of men in just about every place that he preached. It is strange today how acceptable our lukewarm brand of Christianity has become. And that's because the church has conformed to the world. When you suffer, your adversaries will believe that you suffer because you are wrong. However, in reality, your suffering will be a testimony to you that ye are right. Notice with me in the book of Matthew in chapter number 5, in verses 10 through 12, what the word of God have to say. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now we want to continue and go to chapter 2 of Philippians. And we want to look at verses 1 through 4 first. And we entitle this passage, Others. Others. Philippians chapter 2. Verses 1 through 4. This is what the words of God have to say. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. When Salvation Army founder William Booth was on his deathbed, he was visited by one of the managers of the telegraph system of London. The man asked Booth if he had a last message he would like to send to his Salvation Army officers around the world. He said, "If you have, whether it is long or short, we shall be glad to send it free of charge." Looking up, the general smiled his thanks and said just one word, others. You see, having others first does several wonderful things. It provides, first of all, as we see there in verse 1 of Philippians chapter 2, consolation. Consolation in Christ. Consolation means to console, to comfort. Notice with me, in the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, the words of God have this to say. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, in Timothy our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is now. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. So, Christ comforts us and consoles us. We have consolation in Christ. So we can console and cover and comfort others who are going through what we've already gone through before, amen. You see, when the love is not based on what I can get out of the relationship, but what I can give in the way of comfort to others. That's the comfort of love. So we're looking at some wonderful things that happen when we put others first. Consolation in Christ, verse 1. Comfort of love, verse 1. And then also fellowship of the Spirit. It says here, if any fellowship of the Spirit in verse 1 of Philippians 1. You see, the Spirit puts us in a body. And the way for fellowship of the Spirit is to abound is for us to allow the work of the Spirit to minister through us to others. You see, it's not about the Spirit ministering to us as a dead end. Amen? As we're looking at having others first, does several wonderful things. It provides also mercy. Bowels and mercies we see in verse 1. If any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. Bowels. Meaning the feeling you get from being with others is either warm, neutral, cold, but it should be warm. Mercies. The mercies you extend to others for the mercy you have received from God. See? The mercies that you and I have received from God. We don't deserve to be saved. Amen. As sinners. We don't deserve to be saved through God's grace. We deserve to be in the lake of fire for time and eternity. But He showed us mercy. Amen. We didn't get what we deserved, because God sacrificed His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to pay for our sins. Another wonderful thing that it provides when we put others first is joy. In verse 2, Paul says, "Fulfill ye my joy." Ultimately, it made Paul very happy that the church at Philippi, the believers were getting along. Another wonderful thing that putting others first provides, is like-mindedness. Like-mindedness. See? Paul says, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded. Like-minded, being of one accord and of one mind. See, you can't go anywhere together if you're not agreed. As the book of Amos in chapter 3, verse 3 says, can two walk together except they agree? And of course, they can't walk together unless they agree. So when you put others first, amen, we see it provides like-mindedness between believers. Amen. Another thing, wonderful thing that it provides is humility. Humility. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. See, humility keeps down strife, vainglory, which is boastfulness, deceit, vanity. In humility, always looks for the strength in others that is better than yourselves. Humility also looks for the reason to hold them in higher estimation than you hold yourself. Someone once said this: sometimes you think you are the most important person around, but just hold on, because you'll do something really stupid to show that you aren't. Amen. Another wonderful thing that putting others provides is ministry. Ministry. Look in verse 4 of Philippians chapter 2. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Ministry gives you a reason to serve, because you become more concerned with how you can help meet others' needs than how you can meet your own. Amen? So we've seen some wonderful things that when you put others, what it provides, some wonderful things. When you put others, it provides consolation in Christ, comfort of love, fellowship of the Spirit, bowels and mercies, joy, like-mindedness, humility, and it allows you to minister to others. Amen. Now, as we continue on in Philippians chapter 2, as we examine our next passage here, verses 5 to 13, which we're going to entitle The Mind of Christ. The Mind of Christ. So let's turn to Philippians chapter 2 and read down from verse 5 to verse 13. The Word of God has this to say: let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, God wants to work his will in our lives. And for him to be able to do this, we must have to have the mind of Christ. You see, God the Father was able to get done through Jesus Christ what he wanted, because Jesus had the right mind about what God was going to do through him and to him. He had the mind of one who was, first of all, privileged. Privileged. Verse 6. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. See? Privilege. Recognized that he was God's child. So his demeanor and deportment was fitting for the Son of God. We are the sons of God. That's a privilege. But this wasn't going to cause God to cut his son any slack. So he had the mind of one who was privileged. He also had the mind of one who was unpretentious. Unpretentious. Look in verse 7. But he made himself of no reputation. You see, he was not concerned with his own reputation. He had no reputation. He was doubted by his family and rejected by his own people. We also see that the Lord, he had the mind of one who was submissive. Submissive. Verse 7 again. And he took upon himself, he took upon him the form of a servant. See? He was a servant. He came to serve and give his life a ransom for all. Not only that, he had the mind of one who was humble. Humble. Verse 7 again. And was made in the likeness of men. He was a man. Amen. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. See in verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Yet he was God. He left the throne and all of his riches to become poor, that you and I might be made rich through him. Not only the Lord had the mind of one who was privileged, unpretentious, submissive, humble, but he had the mind of one who was obedient. Obedient. Verse 8. Look at this. And being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was obedient unto death. Even though he did not want our sins and did not want to die, he obeyed his Father and did what he was told to do that we might be saved. Of course, he is rejoicing that he went through this for us. But at the time, it was a real sacrifice. And as a result of this, as a result of the Lord having the mind of one who was privileged, unpretentious, submissive, humble, obedient, as a result of this, he was exalted. Verse 9, wherefore God also has highly exalted him. See? Wherefore he was exalted. He has an exalted name. See? Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. See? He has an exalted name, Jesus. He has an exalted position. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. Everyone and everything will bow before him. See? And then also he has an exalted title, Lord. Lord. In verse 11, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, with the same mind that Christ had, we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. You see, the fear of man is more the fear of God, rather, is more than reverence. See? In verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, and not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, we are privileged to be saved and be honored with an opportunity to do something with God. And we are unpretentious, only concerned with his glory and not our reputations, not trying to impress anybody. And we are to be submissive in that we are his servants. He is not our servant. We are not to fight him when he takes us where we don't want to go. And we are to be humble, to be base. Look with me in 1 Corinthians. First, the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 1. In verses 26 through 29, the Word of God has this to say. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world. And things which are despised has God chosen, yea, things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. We are to be humble, base. Those who are abased will be exalted in due time. We are base. You see, we are just the clay. We are just the vessel in his hands. Job was a good man, but in comparison to God, he recognized that he was vile. So we see we're privileged. We are to be unpretentious. We are to be submissive. We are to be humble. And then finally, we have to be obedient. You see, he has a plan. He has a plan. And we must do what he wants us to do. This way, he can work out everything according to his good pleasure. He is the one working in you. And if you have this mind, he can get done through you what he wants. Amen. As we continue our study here in Philippians, and we're in chapter 2, we want to move on in chapter 2 and look at verses 14 through 18. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. And I entitle this passage, Without Murmurings and Disputings. Without Murmurings and Disputings. So let's turn to Philippians chapter 2 and read down from verse 14 through 18. The Word of God has this to say, Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered up, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. You see, Paul's desire for the Philippians is that they would do everything they were supposed to do without murmuring and disputing. You see, to murmur is to complain discreetly. It is meant to pass the complaint along to just a few in the immediate vicinity of the complainer. And when the saints murmur and dispute, they sow the seeds of discord in the congregation. Amen. And in Proverbs chapter 6, in verses 16 through 19, amen, what we have listed there is the things that God hates. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 6, in verses 16 through 19. See? And one of the things that God hates is he that soweth discord among a brethren. Amen. We're going to stop there. We've just about run out of time today. But we'll pick up in Philippians chapter 2 and continue our study in the book of Philippians.